6 months after Sukkot, the festival of Passover is celebrated. The first night is probably the most extraordinary one of the Jewish year. It is then that the Seder takes place, and this is no ordinary festive dinner. Even the food is intended to conjure up memories of bondage in Egypt and miraculous redemption. You eat an unleavened sort of cracker-like bread. It's called matzah. And the idea, of course, is to stress what? The haste in which our fathers were forced to flee Egypt. They had no time to bake bread. And so they ate this unleavened bread. Jews eat bitter herbs on this night to remind them of the bitterness of slavery. And so this is part of reliving, as it were, the Exodus, not just through a retelling of the story, but actually eating food that would recount aspects of this deliverance. Jews recite a text that we referred to in an earlier lecture, the Haggadah, which recounts the Exodus story by the recitation of biblical scripture, rabbinic accounts, and even later medieval poetry. The poetry comes at the very end, and it's sung in a rather festive or super festive manner because they have already drunk 4 cups of wine during this festival, and clearly the mirth begins to emerge as the night gets longer. Children are paid special attention at this Seder. The whole elaborate procedure, in fact, is intended to make them ask, what is this all about? And part of the Haggadah has children asking 4 questions. And you're supposed to do everything to make them ask these questions. 7 weeks after Passover, after the beginning of Passover, another festival takes place. We refer to it as Pentecost or Shavuot, literally weeks. It is exactly 7 weeks to the day. And while biblically this was linked to an agricultural feast, the rabbis determined that this was the day that commemorates the revelation at Sinai and the giving of the Torah. And so we read on that day the portion of the Torah that describes the revelation. Some Jews are up all night on the eve of Shavuot studying Torah to manifest their devotion to it. A third category of festivals was added after the Bible in Second Temple times. For instance, one feast known as Purim is based on the events of the biblical book of Esther, and it is celebrated a month before Passover. The nature of the story in the book of Esther is about an evil official in the Persian kingdom that wanted to annihilate all the Jews because there was one Jew that refused to bow down to him. His name was Mordecai, but the official was thwarted, and in the last minute, everything was overturned. And clearly, this was a story that resonated deeply with Jews today and throughout their history. Another festival, one lasting 8 days, is the Feast of Hanukkah, and it is celebrated in December. Very often, it falls literally on the same days that Christians would celebrate Christmas. Sometimes it's a little before Christmas. It focuses on the cultural clash between Judaism and Hellenism in the Second Temple period. An attempt was made by a despotic king, Antiochus IV, to outlaw Jewish religious practice, to impose pagan rites in the Temple of Jerusalem. This led to a Jewish uprising, spearheaded by a family of priests known as the Hasmoneans. They are sometimes referred to as the Maccabees. Their victory in 164 BCE symbolizes for many the principle of freedom of religion. On Hanukkah, candles are lit. In fact, 8 candles are lit every day, 1 more. The first night, 1 candle, the second, 2. And the reason for lighting candles is very interesting. If you were to ask most Jews, they would tell you a well-known fable that appears in the Talmud, and that is that when the Hasmoneans defeated the Greeks and they entered the despoiled temple, they found no sacred oil with which to light the candelabra, save for a tiny little flask that had enough for one night alone. And they lit it, and lo and behold, the oil sufficed for 8 days. And so we light candles for 8 days to remind us of that miracle. There are other reasons given in ancient sources for the 8 days of candle lighting. People have, I think, erroneously pointed to that legend and claimed that it was an attempt to redirect Jewish history from the political and the military defeat of the Greeks to a more spiritualized aspect. Right, the light sort of as a metaphor for the brilliance of Torah and so on. I think it's a nice idea, but I have serious doubts whether that in fact is the case. And if only because the rabbis themselves give all sorts of other reasons, some of them stressing the military victory of the Hasmoneans. I think the two components really come together.